Tomorrow is a day to remember that the time is always right to do what is right. To remember that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. To remember that forgiveness is not an occasional act, but a permanent attitude. To remember that faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. To remember that our lives begin to end the day that we become silent about the things that matter. To remember that darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. And that hate cannot drive out hate, no, only love can do that. To remember to never succumb to the temptation of bitterness. To remember that out of the mountain of despair, a stone of hope. To remember that we still have a dream.
Jesus appeared to John and told him to write words to seven churches. Hear these words to the church at Smyrna, beginning in Revelation 2, verse 8. To the angel of the church of Smyrna write, "These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can on the website or the Christ Church app. Well, today I'm continuing our series titled Letters from Jesus. As we look at the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 3, we see that Jesus appeared to John in a vision while he was exiled on the island of Patmos. And Jesus tells John to write down what he sees and to send it to seven particular churches in Asia Minor. Revelation 1:11 reads, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." These were real churches with real people facing real problems. And Jesus had particular words to share with each one of them. Through the centuries, the words of Jesus to these seven churches have had a tremendous impact. The historical context then was a time of persecution and distress. It was a time of upheaval and uncertainty, and believers across the known world were suffering. John was suffering in exile and experiencing persecution for his faith. And understood believers in these seven churches were suffering too, post-suffering in the chat. Since Roman authorities at that time were beginning to enforce the cult of emperor worship, declaring the emperor to be Lord. Christians who declared Jesus is Lord, not Caesar is Lord, were facing increasing hostility. John was writing to encourage the faithful to resist the demands of emperor worship and other forms of idolatry as well as immorality around them. As we read it, we recognize the book of Revelation is a distinctive kind of literature. Apocalyptic. It's writing that is highly symbolic and not always easy to understand, and yet Revelation's overarching theme is one of hope and encouragement for Christ followers in the midst of persecution, turmoil, and challenging times. How many of us have encountered times of turmoil and challenge in our lives? We often face situations in life that buffet our faith or cause us to struggle. Perhaps there are health problems we didn't anticipate, or there's a problem in a relationship that just continues to cause us heartache and grief, or someone we know experiences a tragedy, or the circumstances of our life just seem to pile up to the place that we don't know if we're going to get through these things. When these things happen, we're reminded there are times when life goes bad for all of us. There are times when we all struggle. The letter from Jesus to the church at Smyrna helps us think biblically about the struggles of life, especially those struggles that come because of our Christian faith. If you travel about 40 miles north of Ephesus, you will come to a natural harbor that in the first century was home to the city of Smyrna. Today, Smyrna is called Izmir and is a leading city in modern Turkey. Because of its location and beauty, Smyrna was known as the ornament of Asia. In fact, in AD 26, a competition was held to determine which city would win the right to build a temple for Caesar worship. Smyrna won that contest and took great pride in its loyalty to Rome. So because of the prevailing paganism and because of the citywide emperor worship, Christians in Smyrna found themselves under unrelenting pressure. Once a year, the loyal citizens of Smyrna would publicly declare, "Caesar is Lord." This no faithful Christ follower could ever do. Thus, believers in Jesus found themselves unpopular and continually criticized. To live in Smyrna meant you were in a hotbed of Caesar worship and pagan sacrifice. We should note that Smyrna is one of only two churches in Revelation 2 through 3 for which our Lord has no words of rebuke. The other is Philadelphia. Why is that? No words of rebuke for Smyrna. Perhaps because their suffering had made them strong. Their suffering had stripped them of everything except Jesus himself. Someone has said, "You never know if Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have." And when Jesus is all you have, then you will discover that Jesus is all you need. Here was a church obviously in trouble. Seeing the harassed believers of Smyrna, Jesus has nothing negative to say. This letter to Smyrna tells us something about this church and much more about the Lord himself. Let's consider what we know about Jesus from his message to the suffering saints of Smyrna. Through these brief words, we can find much to encourage us in our own struggles. First, Jesus knows our trouble. Jesus says in Revelation 2:8, "I know your afflictions." Jesus knew what the Christians in Smyrna were facing. He understood the pressure they were under from all the influences around them. Jesus saw their persecution and had empathy. He too had known afflictions and trouble as he shared the good news of God's kingdom, all the while preparing to sacrifice his own life on the cross. Christ followers everywhere today experience trouble, afflictions. It happens. And some people are tempted to fall away from faith in the midst of suffering. Don't let that happen to you. Remember Jesus' parable of the sower and the seeds? He told of one person who received the word with joy, but has no root and only lasts a short time. Matthew 13:21. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Don't let that be you. Jesus knows your troubles. He understands and he wants to help. Second, Jesus knows our poverty. Revelation 2:8, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. These people were suffering for their faith. They were experiencing poverty too. If they once had been rich in worldly goods, those days were gone. No doubt there were economic costs for those unwilling to say, Caesar is Lord. You might lose your job, or you might not be able to get one at all. These believers did not have much of the material things of this world, yet Jesus tells them, you are rich. How can that be? How can that be? Someone has said, no person who knows Jesus is ever truly poor. Amen? And no person without Jesus is ever truly rich. I always marvel how Christian people around the world, many who do live on the edge of poverty, give great testimony to God's love and goodness and joy in their lives. How does that happen? God's love, grace, and salvation gives them peace, assurance, and comfort in the midst of hardships and struggles. On the other hand, there are many in this world who are rich in material possessions and the things of this world, and yet who are not happy in life. They don't know peace within. They don't have hope in the midst of storms. They don't have joy that comes from on high. Perhaps you've been there. No peace, no hope, no joy. Jesus is the one who comes with the true riches of life to lift us out of whatever poverty we face, spiritual, emotional, relational, physical. Remember this, there's no one quite like Jesus. He is the one who can lift us up out of whatever poverty we face. Third, Jesus knows we will have adversaries. Revelation 2:9, I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Apparently, in addition to persecution from pagans, there was persecution from Jewish people who were there in Smyrna, who had difficulty believing claims of Jesus being the Messiah. So they opposed the Christians and slandered them in every way they could. Jesus understands the battle with Satan. Though defeated once and for all on the cross, Satan still is about deception, lying, confusion, and leading astray. And he uses whatever or whoever he can. Remember, the religious leaders of Jesus' day were blind and they were carried along by Satan's schemes when they trumped up charges against Jesus to have him crucified. Jesus knows we will have adversaries, and we shouldn't be surprised about that either. Next, from these words of Jesus to the church at Smyrna, Jesus says to them and to us, "Do not be afraid." Revelation 2:10, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer." Jesus prepares this church for specific suffering that is coming. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. You'll suffer persecution for 10 days. Some of you may even die. Prison, persecution, even death is the kind of suffering Christians endured then, have endured throughout history, are enduring today in many parts of our world, and should not completely surprise us if sometime in the future this kind of suffering should ever come our way. Throughout church history, there have been times of trials, testing, and persecution. These Christ followers at Smyrna were warned by Jesus and also told, "Do not be afraid." I'm glad that Jesus tells them and us, in the face of whatever is happening around you, do not be afraid. I take great comfort in those words, and I take great comfort in the one who says them. Jesus is the eternal one, the one who loves us, knows us, cares for us, and died for us. The one who said at the beginning of our text in Revelation 2:8, "These are the words of Him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life." See, that right there is huge. Jesus died and then came to life. He was raised and is alive even today. That's how He can say to us, "I will never leave you or forsake you," Hebrews 13:5. Or, "Lo, I am with you to the end of the age," Matthew 28:20. So, whatever is happening now in your world or may happen in the future, remember this: stay close to Jesus. Stick close to Jesus. Follow Him, live for Him, love like Him, trust in Him. He will never lead you astray or do you wrong. Finally, Jesus says to them and us, be faithful. To believers everywhere, throughout human history and all time, Jesus says in Revelation 2:10, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. One of the things that I've realized over the years is that Jesus never promises to remove the trials of life. He never says to the church at Smyrna, "Just believe in me and everything will get better." When I was young in Christian faith, I kind of thought that way. If I believe in Jesus, everything is going to be great or get better. If I believe in Jesus, trials and struggles and heartaches of life will surely not come my way. Well, now I know that's not so. Those things can and do happen to all of us. And if we don't fully understand that, when they do happen, we won't be prepared. We need a theology of suffering for when suffering does come. Jesus never says, "Believe in me and I'll give you an easy life." He says here to the church at Smyrna, "Be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life." By the crown of life, He's pointing to eternal life. Many modern Christians may have never heard of a man named Polycarp. The early believers in the church knew all about him because Polycarp was one of the first well-known martyrs of the Christian faith. In his youth, he was a disciple of the Apostle John. When he grew up, for many years, he served as bishop of the church in Smyrna. Wow! Bishop of this church to whom Jesus had these words? Well, during a wave of persecution in AD 155, when a mob demanded Polycarp's death, Roman officials tried to save his life by offering him repeated chances to deny his faith in Christ. He refused each time. When given one final chance to save his own life, he replied in words that echo across the ages. He said, "For 86 years, I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my King who has saved me?" And with that, the fire was lit and Polycarp burned to death. Now, I don't think any of us will have to stand up for our faith quite like that. But there will be and are times, even now, when we may be called to stand firm and to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints, even in the face of suffering, persecution, and ridicule. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Jesus encourages us to always watch and be ready. There's no promise that persecution and suffering won't come, and we know not the day or the hour of His return. Once again, he or she who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen? Let's pray together. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you for the faith that has been delivered once for all to the saints. We're grateful for the ways you've delivered it to us as well, by your word and ultimately by the word who became flesh and dwelt among us, your Son, Jesus. Thank you for this letter to the church at Smyrna. Though they had struggles and faced poverty, Jesus reminded them that they were rich in things that really matter. Lord, help us believe that truth in our own lives, in the midst of our turmoil or perhaps persecution. May fear not control us, and may we be faithful to you in every way. We want to be ready. We want to be ready. In Jesus' name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, I would love to visit with you if you'd like about the message. So get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. We want to pray with you. And thank you always for your generosity. Your online gifts are helping us care and reach for new people for Jesus in His kingdom as we begin this new year. You can go online to use the app or the website anytime. If you haven't turned in your 2023 estimate, you can do that as well. Be sure to take advantage of all of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, in the face of suffering and struggle, Jesus says, don't be afraid and be faithful to the end. We want to be ready. For now, what new step can you take today to be ready?
You know, I was thinking of giving up all my bad habits for New Year's.
Great.
Then I remembered, nobody likes a quitter.
Indeed. The first Wednesday in February brings us Reverend Jeff James from Restore Hope. Meet us at 5:30 p.m. for a meal, a mission, and a message.
Beginning in January, Full Circle will meet on the second Wednesday and the fourth Sunday of the month. Full Circle is an interactive experience with fellowship, small groups, and worship, and prayer. Everyone is invited. Contact Ethan Watt for more information.
The Hurting Parents Support Group provides resources for parents of adult children. Contact Kathy Feist or Jill Prey for more information on how to participate in this class.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cunctulsa.com.